Welcome to the Wit and Wisdom of B.R. Lincoln. A trademark with Dr. B.R. Lincoln was the monologue he usually gave at the beginning of his message to warm his crowd. He was a master at wit and humor. He was great with one-liners. His timing was flawless. Without a smile, he would have his listeners laughing beyond control. Occasionally, he would chuckle or send the congregation into fresh laughter by saying, "I'm a mess, ain't I?" Dr. Lincoln was at his best when he preached to preachers. He loved preachers, and he delighted to preach to them. His humorous monologue before a crowd of preachers would almost make them climb the walls. The following is an example of Dr. Lincoln before a large crowd of preachers. He was the late speaker at the Southwide Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky, on October 7, 1980.
I thought they were going to let me go on the night shift. Now, if you go to sleep, I'll come down and sit by you, put my head on your shoulder, and sleep with you. Because I think I'd want to hear me preach this late in the night. But anyway, so many people where I go want to know how old I am, which is nobody's business. But I was holding a meeting in Atlanta, Georgia, and a little girl doing my room, and she was lamenting the fact that she had not gone to school much. And I said, "Well, neither did I." I said, "Abraham Lincoln only went 2 years in his life." She said, "Did you all go to school with him?" Well, I'll tell you a little something. I discovered America on Thursday, June the 5th, 9 o'clock in the morning. In 1901, the old doctor rode 7 miles down there in the country and stayed all night and delivered me the next morning. My father paid him $5 and he went back. And Dad always felt like he was cheated. But you can't get born for that now, you know that? A fellow came in from work one evening, picked up the bill on the table from the hospital, and he said to his wife, "Honey, 2 more payments and the baby's ours." You can't afford to get born, and to die is out of reason, amen. So I've decided that if I ever find out where I'm going to die, I won't go there. And the most dangerous place you ever went to, the most dangerous place you ever went is Tibet. More people die there than anywhere else. I was so surprised when I first saw this country, I didn't speak for more than a year. I was so surprised. And I only had on such clothes as nature provided me with. And I was so surprised I didn't speak. And then you know what? My mother said I had to rustle for my living the first year. And she said I was a good rustler. My mother had 6 children. Dr. Caldwell was introducing me one day to speak one Sunday on the radio, on the television. And he said, when he finished, I turned around and said, "Dr. Caldwell, I'm glad my mother didn't believe in abortion. Look what the world would have missed." And I still don't believe in it, amen? I believe that God created a male and female. Someone said he created a man, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. A fellow came up to me with an Australian sheepdog haircut and a pair of breeches on so tight at the bottom he'd have to grease his feet to get them on, feeling his upper lip for the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Then he said, "Do you believe the Bible contains the Word of God?" I said, "No, I believe it is the Word of God." But he said, "It has so many contradictions in it." He'd heard somebody say that. I said, "Show me one." Well, he said, "There's plenty. I don't want plenty, just one." And he stood there and sputtered like an arc light. And then he said, "The Bible is so unscientific." That is a big word. He'd heard that. He said, "You know, I think." I said, "No, you don't think. You ought to. But you can't do it because you..." He said, I said, "Do you know something? If God didn't intend for you to be a bird, he'd put feathers on you. Why don't you use your own head like a woodpecker does? But he didn't have any head. It's just a stub ran up and hair it over. He only had a neck with a nose on it. The fact of the matter is, he just had a pimple. It hadn't come to a head yet. He said, "Do you believe the miracles of the Bible?" I said, "I sure do." "Well, do you believe that Balaam's ass talked?" I said, "Yes, and when I hear some preachers, I still believe it." And you know what he said? He said, "Do you don't believe that Noah and the Ark story, do you?" I said, "Sure." Now he said, "How big was the Ark?" And I told him how long and how high and how wide. Then he laughed and said, "Now you see how ridiculous that is. How would the priests ever carry that across the Jordan?" He said, "Do you believe, children, that these little peanut brain, possum-headed, pin-whiskered, rabbit-faced monkey professors that pray, 'Our Father, which art in a coconut tree,' if they're bothering you, bring them around. The old man will tend to them." Amen. So I got a friend of mine. One friend of mine, he had to lead him to Christ, and he said, I'm an atheist. He said, I believe we came from monkeys. When he got in the hospital and sent for the doctor to come to see him, and the doctor went to see him, and he said, "Doctor," he said, preacher, they say that I'm going to have a major operation. And he said, "They say I'll have to have some blood." He said, "Could you get the church to give me some blood?" He said, "Why don't you go to the zoo and get some of the original stock? That's the thing." Let me say this. I was saved, and I like that word, S-A-V-E-D. You've used that word commitment till I'm sick. Now come and make your commitment. What have you got to commit? And then that's like they say, give Jesus your heart. What does he want with your old dirty heart? You're not saved by giving Jesus your heart. You're not saved by letting Jesus come into your heart. You said, "How am I saved?" Well, here's where you're born. Here's where you die. So when God laid your sin on Jesus, he laid all of it, past, present, and future. And the moment you trust Jesus Christ, then and there you're going to heaven. Because your sin debt's paid for from the time you're born until the time you die. So there you are. Young preacher said, "What would you suggest for me to do?" I said, "Learn to preach the gospel." That's the first thing. When I got saved, I was working in a log job, driving four mules, hauling saw logs, staying in a little log shanty way in the head of the hollow. And one day I got sick and I came home for 3 days, and my mother said they were having a revival in the little country church at the Forks of the Creek. I stayed in bed for 2 days, and the third day I said to her, "I believe I'll go to church tonight and get saved and make a Methodist bishop." She said, "I don't care what you make, just so you get saved." Like Mr. Spurgeon, when he said to his old Anglican mother, "I got saved and joined the Baptist church." He said, "Charles, I always wanted you to be a Christian, but I never wanted you to be a Baptist." He said, "Well, mother, God answered your prayer in his usual way and gave you more than you asked him for." Dr. Boney Bulgin said he was a great Presbyterian evangelist, but he said he was reared up in the mountains of North Carolina, an old primitive Baptist mother, and she never got over the fact that Elwood became a Presbyterian. I'd go home every summer, take out from my evangelistic work, and go home and spend the month with her. And when I'd go in, the first thing when I went in, she'd start on me about being a Presbyterian. And one day he said to her, "Mother, suppose Jesus would come and tell you that he wasn't a Presbyterian, then what would you say?" She'd said, "I'd know it wasn't him." Thank you for the water. I may want to baptize tonight. Amen. Now, don't look at your watch. I know what time it is.
The following, recorded in Landmark Baptist Temple, Cincinnati, Ohio, is an example of Dr. Lakin and his opening remarks during a revival.
I want you to pray with us and come with us this week. here in this great revival that we believe that God's going to give us. I'm speaking every morning from 10 until 11. Bring your Bibles with you and bring a pencil because you may want to mark your Bible. A clean Bible is a lean soul, so don't forget that. And then I'll be speaking every morning and every night this week. And then on Saturday morning, we're having an alabaster box service. We're holding a memorial service to Mary on Saturday morning. Simply a little message of appreciation. He said, whatsoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this that this woman hath done shall be told as a memorial of her. She hath come aforetime to anoint my body for the burial. We're simply going to talk about giving the roses this side the grave. Dr. R.G. Lee says that dead noses smell no roses. So if you have time to give some roses, give it while they're living. And while, of course, when you bring it after you're dead, they always put their name on it so the dead don't know who brought it. So Saturday morning, we're going to expect a great time of blessing here. But then next Sunday morning, in the early Easter sunrise service, Dr. Rawlins talked about me getting up early. Well, that isn't very early for me. I was born and reared on a farm. My father had a peculiar way of going to bed before dark and getting up at 4 o'clock and waiting for daylight to come. We went out to cut oats one morning and had to wait till it got a light enough to see. And I said, Dad, did you sow wild oats? And he said, no. I said, look like you're trying to slip up on them in the dark. I promised myself then if I ever got away from it, I'd get some sleeping. I don't sleep long. I just sleep slow. It takes me longer to get done sleeping than it does some people. So you come and be with us in that service on Sunday morning. Then I guess we'll be preaching all day. We're going to have donuts and coffee. I can't eat those things. I mean, hardly the holes give me the colic. But anyway, if you'll come. Someone said, what is a donut? He said, that's a hole surrounded by a lot of bad cooking. So if you... I tell you, I'm going to give you women a little tip. There's more divorces caused by indigestion than anything else. Get up of a morning and get that old man a good hot breakfast and cook a few biscuits for him. Amen. I know he'll think something's gone wrong, but anyway, you do it. Eh? Fellow went down from New York, down in South Carolina, and he went back and he said they had the best things there I ever ate in my life. Said the woman called them hot ones. Said she'd pass them and say, have a hot one. And he said, those hot ones were the best thing I've ever eaten. I like to see you smile when you come to church. Billy Sunday said smile and her tears. Neither one was religion. He said there's more religion in your will than there is in your handkerchief. I like to read in the Bible where he said, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, not your gloominess. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't think the Lord ever intended for us to come to church with a tombstone under one arm and a coffin under the other, looking like the advance agent for an undertaker. And looking like if we were going to take a joy ride, we'd call a hearse to take it in. There are a lot of Christians like the old lady that said, I always feel bad when I feel good because I know I'm going to feel worse. So that's the way they do it usually.
Preacher asked me how I ever promoted myself. From that first little church of mine with a little church with a pot-bellied stove and coal oil lights. And I was given $7 a month. Most overpaid preacher in the state. Put my mule in a different barn every night and slept in the spare room of the homes. And if you never slept in the spare room way up over in the northeast corner when it was 4 below 0, you haven't slept. That's what I'll tell you. And get in between 2 starched sheets and shiver. About the time you got it warmed up so you could sleep, the old deacon hollered for you to get up. Get up and come down. He said, Brother Lakin, it's a lot healthier to sleep away from the fire. I said, if you don't mind, I'd rather not be quite so healthy. We had a big straw bed like that with goose hair on top of that. One of these little mattresses, you get up in the morning, your back looked like a waffle iron. You get up and lie down in it and go, shh. Listen, you say, Dr. Lakin, how would you like to go back to that? A young man said to me, what did you do to promote yourself from that to be pastor of the largest tabernacle in the world, seating 10,000? I said not one thing. I never sent out a brochure in my life. I never asked a man for a meeting. I've never said, how much are you going to give me? I said, the fact of the matter is, I never expected to be anything but a country preacher. And that's what I am tonight. A plain, simple country preacher. God has blessed and God has given the victory. And I moved on and the trail started back under 62 years ago. Way in the head of Greenbrier Creek, it has wound down across the mountains and valleys and across the oceans and the rivers. All over 100,000 miles, 200,000 miles. One day it'll come to an end down on the bank of the River of Life. And I'll stand up in the boat and wave goodbye and step out on the other side and say, good morning, Jesus. And the toil of the road will seem nothing when I come to the end of the way. I don't get invited to any of their blowouts. I don't get invited to any of their parties. A lady said to me one day, Dr. Lakin, I got invited to a bridge party. What do you think about it? I said, I think they got you put down as a hypocrite. And they haven't got you much misput. They never asked me to go, amen? Nobody ever asked me to the party at all. Like a girl said to me, a waitress said to me down at the, she said, would you like a drink? I said, yes, water. She said, I mean a cocktail. I said, yes, fruit. She said, I mean something from the bar. I said, honey, listen, 62 years ago I got saved, and that got the hog out of me, and I haven't had to slop him since. A fella came up to me and says, I'm a Christian. I'm a Baptist. I said, you smell like it. You say, Dr. Lakin, if I'd get really like you say, I'd have to give up all my friends. Don't you worry, honey. They'll give you up. They'll shed you like a calf sheds its hair in the spring of the year. You'll not have to give them up. But it's the easiest matter in the world. A fellow was an alcoholic. They call them alcoholics now. They call them sots when I was a boy. But you know what? He came into my office and he said, and he was crying. And I said, if you don't quit that, you're going to be a bum. He said, well, what do you think? I'm a bum already. Why do you think I'm in here? Well, I said, why don't you quit? Why don't you quit that thing? He said, I'm too weak. Well, I said, if I was that weak, I'd get me a little more hair in the tail and be a sure enough dog. That's what I did. Let me tell you something tonight. If you want to get off, get off. My grandson smoked cigarettes from the time he was 7 years old till I don't know how old he was. And I said to him one day, I said, Ronnie, you're not smoking as much as you used to. He said, I don't smoke at all. He said, I haven't for 2 years. I quit. I said, did you taper off? He said, no, I just quit. He said, I've eaten up 2 or 3 pillowcases of the night, but then... he said, if you go to get off of a horse, you don't pull out a hair at a time. You get off. Amen. Someone said to me, couldn't I smoke cigarettes and go to heaven? I said, yes, and a whole lot quicker. You heard the story about the fellow who was on the plane and the woman pulled out a pack of cigarettes and lit up one and blew some smoke. And he said, lady, you smoke, I chew. Now, you can blow smoke on me if I can spit on you. I said, could I go to heaven and chew tobacco? I said, yeah, but you have to go to hell to spit. Let me show you something tonight.
Dr. Lakin's humor did not stop at the end of his monologue. Often it was sprinkled through his messages. The following is an example of one of his messages in the white heat of preaching before a great crowd when he is really going. It's really Dr. Lakin at his best with his wit and humor and driving home a point.
Don't go. It just has no attractions for me. And once you get a good case of old-fashioned sky blue, blood red, bedrock, River Jordan, John the Baptist, regeneration, all wool, yard-wide religion, it'll ruin you for this world. Amen. let me tell you. A lady said to me the other day, Dr. Lakin, why don't you give some nice preaching? I said, honey, if nice preaching would have saved this city, it'd have been saved a long time ago. We don't need some nice preachers. Did you ever notice in the Old Testament the priest never got in trouble? But the prophets did. The prophets are the one who said, "Thou art the man." The man today who's facing this frowning world, as some of our brethren are tonight, is going to get in trouble. Amen. And I'll tell you what fundamentalists need, my friend. You need to get a little backbone in you and stand up and cry out against something. Or you say yes to somebody else doing it, but you try it once. Let me tell you something, my friend. What we need today is another John the Baptist that'll go down the Jordan Valley with a pair of skin breeches on and a leathern girdle around his loins and his black mane hanging down his shoulder and preaching repentance until they come from the governor to the bootblack to hear it. That's what it cost him his head. We need another Nathan that had put his finger under David's nose and said, "Thou art the man." And said, "Thou art the man." You say, "Brother Lincoln, you know what I've done? Made up my mind. I may have to die for him. I don't know. But I've done made up my mind that that I love him. And if necessary, I'm willing to die for him." I'm going to tell you another thing. I'm not going to let any group, any person, any individual tell me where I can go, with whom I can go, or where I can stay or not. That's all. I'll go where I want to go and where I feel like God wants me to go. Amen. But you said you're going to... Well, let me tell you something, brother. A fellow asked me, I held a meeting for some people the other day. And a fellow said, "Well, would you hold meetings for them?" I said, "I'd hold one in hell if I thought I could get out." I'll tell you what I do. I don't wonder what Dr. Wigglesjaw says or what Dr. Broadmouth has to say about it. I load up my old gospel gun with ham irons and log chains and salt rock and cayenne pepper and TNT and turpentine and tamp the powder down so the ramrod jumps out about 6 inches, and then I cock both barrels and take dead aim and let her go, and the fur flies and they furnish it. That's what I'm telling you. Don't wait for something to happen. Make it happen. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Make it happen. I was preaching for a fellow not long ago, and a man told me that he'd preach for him, and he said, "I told him that when the rapture comes, your church will be the first one to go, for the dead in Christ shall rise first." The lady said to me, "You don't believe in social service, do you?" I said, "You bet I do." I said, "I think the prodigal son needed a new suit of clothes. I think he needed a good square meal. I think he needed a pair of shoes. I think he needed all of that. But they didn't take it down to Egypt to him. He had to come home to get it." I'll tell you what the average church is doing tonight. They're spending all their time in an attempt to get the prodigal a better job in the far country. He needed it, but they didn't take it down to him. He had to come home to get it. He had to come home to get it. Until he comes home, when he comes, the robe and the ring and the shoes will all follow. But I guess we didn't have welfare. I guess it'd been in our day, that chapter never would have been in the New Testament. We'd have gone down there and killed those hogs he was watching and hired him not to raise any pigs next year. And then we would have given him his food stamps and bussed his neighbors all down to see him. And he never would have come home. What you need tonight, my friend, you need tonight is to get men and women right with God, and that's the only business of the church. That's the reason you have the buses. Pastor said to me one day, talking about another pastor, and he said, he ran a bus right past my door, my church. I said, "Why didn't you run one past his?" Said, "He picked up one of my Sunday school boys and baptized him." I said, "Why didn't you already baptize him before?" He said, "He's a sheep stealer." I said, "You can't steal satisfied sheep. But you put them on broom sedge and straw and dog fennel, and if they can find clover, they'll jump out." A fellow said to me not long ago, he said, "These cults are just taking all our folks out of our churches." I said, "That's your fault. That's your fault. If you'd have founded them in the Word of God, they wouldn't do that." You know what a fellow said? A traveling man stopped in front of a farmer's door and he said, "Mister, your hogs have gone crazy. I just passed down there and they'll go squealing across the field clear to the other side. Then they'll turn and come squealing back." And the old farmer said, "No, they're not crazy. But last winter I lost my voice and I couldn't call my hogs except by beating on the fence with a stick." And he said, "This summer these everlasting peckerwoods have run my hogs to death." Did you know? Did you know something tonight? If you'll feed them, they won't be running after every religious peckerwood that comes through the country. That's what I'm telling you. They won't be running after that. It's your fault that they get away. Brother said, I'd like for you to hold a meeting for me, but he said, you'd stir up a stink in my church. I said, not unless there's something dead in it, I wouldn't. I'm a mess, and let me tell you something. Taken out of the world, sent back into the world, and not of the world. They were in the world, but they're not worldly. I don't know where the world's getting little churchier. The churches are getting a little worldly. They all go to the same places and do the same thing, and they never lift their voice against it. Did you know something? The day is here now that you better begin to lift your voice against some things, or it's going to take you. They had a news conference this morning. A conglomeration of religious leaders of the different groups. And, of course, they talked about a man. Thank God he talked about more than they are. Let me tell you something. Fundamentalists ought to stand up together and support one another. Amen?
Yeah.
You know something? You ought to stand. I told a modernist the other day, I said, you fellas don't have to worry. If you let the fundamentalists alone, they'll kill one another all.
No room for the prejudice here, is there? No room for the prejudice here. Black or white, red or yellow, polka dot or whatnot. Amen. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Catholic, every man that's born again goes to heaven. Amen. Every man that's born again. I don't think there'll be any Baptists in heaven. Or Methodists either, and I have my doubts about the Presbyterians. You say who's going to be in heaven? Some old-fashioned sinners saved by grace. Amen. You're going to lose most of your denominational tags after you get to heaven. Did you know that? Now, some of you Methodists, you go by land, but when you get there, you come down to the river and watch the old Baptist boat come steaming in. Let me tell you. Yeah! Oh, I love to preach. Amen. They wouldn't hire me to preach, they'd hire them to let me. I get to heaven, I'm going to take a few of the angels over in the corner and preach to them a while. I know something they don't know, what I'm going to tell them. That's the joy of Christ's salvation. Amen.
Please turn the tape.